Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
I'm sure every listener to the Beacon Broadcast knows by now that we are studying the book of 1 Corinthians. That Paul is dealing with problems in the church, that the first problem is divisions in the church, and he starts dealing with that in chapter 1, and still dealing with it when we get to the end of chapter 4, a major, major problem in the church. And now he's finally getting to the root of the problem, which turns out to be the root of virtually every problem, namely our pride. But because pride is such a, what should I say? It is such a part of our fallen human nature, such a part of the fabric of our life, that many times when it is being exercised in a damaging way, we don't always realize it. We don't always recognize it for what it is. And so Paul is getting at the root of the problem of their pride very specifically by showing them how it applies to this matter of divisions in the church. It is their pride that causes them to fail to understand the true nature of the spiritual leaders and preachers, such as Paul and Apollos and Peter, that they were coalescing around and then bickering among themselves in regard to these men and having cliques instead of unity in the body of Christ. And it was pride in their own exalted estimation of themselves. Instead of recognizing the suffering and persecution and lowliness that is characteristic of the Lord Jesus Christ and is characteristic of Paul and the other apostles, the very people that they were exalting and honoring were the ones who themselves were living in very difficult circumstances, living in shame and humility here upon the earth. And they also failed to recognize the unique position that the Apostle Paul had in regard to their church as its founding pastor. And that gave him a special position that God expected them to recognize and honor in the relationship with Paul. So all of these things Paul is dealing with, particularly in chapter 4. And now he'll get down to the conclusion of this particular problem in the final verses of the chapter, which we will take up in a moment. But first, I pause to say thank you for joining us on this Wednesday, July 21, and thank you for helping us with your financial gifts, without which we could not continue this ministry. In verses 14 through 16, we have Paul's clarification. He tells us about his relationship with the church at Corinth, which they need to understand and recognize. In verse 17, Paul talks about his companion, namely Timothy, his representative, whom he's sending to them to help them become followers of Paul, as Paul is a follower of Christ, to get their relationship with Paul right and the relationship with Christ right by having a right relationship with Paul, because really, one was impossible without the other one. That really is the gist of what Paul is saying here. But now he comes to his correction of them in verses 18 through 21, and it starts out with a confrontation of their pride, verse 18. Now some are puffed up, as though I was not coming to you, but I will come to you shortly, if the Lord wills, and I will know, not the word of those who are puffed up, but the power. Their pride was encouraged by Paul's absence and was manifested by their words. Paul was in Ephesus when he's writing this epistle. He hadn't been in Corinth for probably a couple of years. He is planning to come, but he's not there yet. He writes this epistle to make some corrections in their behavior, to get things moving in the right direction before he gets there. But he says, some of you are puffed up as though I were not coming to you. You are puffed up in pride by my absence, and you are encouraged in that because I'm not there, and perhaps you don't think I'm coming, but I am. I will come to you shortly if the Lord wills, and I will know not the word of those who are puffed up, but the power. Not your speech, but your reality, your actions, your behavior, your true godliness. The old problem of words versus deeds. It's easy to say a lot of things that may or may not be true, but your actions speak so loud, I cannot hear what you say, is the old saying, and that's really, in a sense, what Paul is saying here. When I come, I'm going to find out the reality, not what you're bragging about, not what you imagine yourselves to be, not what you are telling others you are, not your words. I'm going to see the power, that is, the reality in your lives, in your actions, in your deeds, in your works, in your godliness. I'm not interested in what you claim to be. I'm interested in seeing what you really are. I'm going to find that out when I come, so you better get things straightened out before then. And he goes on, therefore, to correct this misunderstanding, verse 20, for the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. The kingdom of God is not in word. It's not, again, what you brag about, what you talk about, what you claim it to be, but what it actually is. Now, this is interesting because there's a lot of debate about the kingdom of God, and is it present or is it future? And the answer is, it is both. But here, it clearly is present. I will come to you shortly, if the Lord wills, and I will know not the word of those who are puffed up, but the power, for the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. We're talking about the kingdom of God now. The kingdom of God as it exists within the life of all of God's true children. There, the king is recognized for who he is. There is a submission to the king, the Lord Jesus Christ, and to his reign, to the lordship of Christ. The world may not recognize the kingdom of Christ. It will someday. He's coming back, and he will establish a kingdom which everyone will recognize, will be forced to. But in the meantime, the kingdom of God is very real. It's very present. It's very powerful in the lives of believers. But the maintenance of that kingdom is not in words alone. Talk is cheap. It's easy to talk. It's easy to brag. It's easy to criticize. It's harder to build up. The Texans have a saying that man is all hat and no cattle. You know what that means. He talks like he's a big rancher. He talks like a big shot, but he's all hat and no cattle. There's no substance to what he says. And there are a lot of Christians like that, and Paul is talking about those kinds of people. The kingdom of God and the ongoing nature of the kingdom and the maintenance, the defense and extension of the kingdom is not in words alone. It can't be done without words, of course, but it's not in words alone. But it's in power, spiritual power. And some would say, he's talking here about miracles, sign gifts, but that's not mentioned in the text, and it's not even mentioned in the context. But he's talking about the establishment, the building up, the maintenance of the church. He's talking about conversions and the maturing of saints and equipping them for ministry. He's talking about the spiritual power that enables people to live as productive citizens of Christ's kingdom. And that's not just found in empty words. It's found in the reality of your lives. So change your attitudes, verse 21. What do you want? Shall I come to you with a rod or in love and in a spirit of gentleness? You choose. How will Paul come? He will come. It's not will he come, but how will he come when he comes? And it's your choice. Shall I come with a rod, that is, with an instrument of punishment, of chastening? Will I come with a whip, with harshness, with confrontation? Or will I come in a spirit of love and gentleness, which I obviously would prefer, but I will come in whatever way is necessary to get you straightened out? So that depends whether I come in with a rod or come in love and gentleness, the spirit of in love and in the spirit of gentleness. That depends upon you. That depends upon your response to this letter. That depends upon whether you will listen to the word of God as it is spoken to you through me and will submit to it, in which case I will gladly come in love and in the spirit of gentleness. And that's not to say that when you come with a rod, it is not because you don't love them, but it doesn't seem very loving. It doesn't sound very loving, though in fact it may be the most loving thing you can do if that's what's needed. But hey, says Paul, it's up to you. You decide. If you maintain your present haughtiness, then I'm going to have to come with a rod and straighten things out. If you repent and submit to my authority, recognizing that it is authority that's been given to me by Christ, and the words I speak to you are indeed the words of Christ, then if you will respond to that properly, I will gladly lay the rod aside and come with wide open arms and welcome you and affirm you and speak gently to you, which is the way Paul much preferred to behave. But he had backbone, he had courage, he had a willingness to do whatever needed to be done to advance the kingdom of Christ. And if there were problems in that corner of the kingdom that was found in the city of Corinth and in the church that was there, then he was willing to come and to exercise that rod, that apostolic authority, and get things straightened out. Which reminds us that calling people to repentance is part of the minister's job. Some people don't like that part. Some ministers aren't willing to do that part, but you ought to ask God to give you a minister with a tender heart, a Christ-like love, but is willing to call you to repentance. That may be unwelcome, and it's always challenging and sometimes difficult, but it's necessary for your spiritual health and the spiritual health of your church. There's always that delicate balance between authority and brotherhood, and some don't think that authority ought to be exercised at all, but listen to Paul and you'll come to a different conclusion. How much authority, strong authority, should be exercised? As little as possible, but as much as is necessary. Spiritual leaders should be neither overbearing, but nor should they be unwilling to do what needs to be done. Just like parents. Parents shouldn't be harsh and overbearing, but they shouldn't be wimps either. They need to discipline their children as needed, as necessary for their welfare, and likewise spiritual leaders in the church. But all of the root of this is pride. Pride causes relationship problems. Pride impedes sanctification. Pride stands in the way of some even coming to Christ for salvation. Pride, it will destroy us. And may God humble us. May we humble ourselves before the mighty hand of God. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.